Father, we thank you for your word that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we really mean that, Lord, that your word gives us direction and keeps us on the right path in our life so that our feet don't trip, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the teacher. We are so glad you're the teacher. Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here. We need understanding. We need your guidance. Help us to learn from this today. Help us to be like iron sharpening iron and learn from one another. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're studying about the rest of God. So this, I'm not going to review a lot of this. I'm just going to hit on these points really quickly and move on so we can get on today about talking about the double portion. Where's the double portion? How do you find the double portion? What does the scripture have to say about the double portion? And the double portion is not always necessarily two. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you another assignment for those that are brave enough to take it. Okay. Those that are willing to take this assignment. Should you decide to take this assignment, this is your assignment. It is not a mission that is impossible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Noelle would always get a big kick when I'd say that. I want you to go through the scripture and find every time you see the number two. Or every time you see God working with two things in the scripture. I got a few of them for you today, but I didn't even scratch the surface. Okay, you ready to go? Okay, our spiritual assignment, we are talking about rest. We are speaking about the rest of God. There remains a rest for God's people, right? Yes. Who knows what that scripture reference is? That's in Hebrews. Who knows what that is? There remains a rest for God's people. Well, Hebrews 4:9, there remains a rest just as God rested from his work. There is a rest for God's people. Rest is an escape out, y'all. It's an evacuation route. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God makes a way out. I'm thankful. I don't serve a God. I don't serve a mean God. I do not. Sometimes I have to wait longer than I want to wait. I will tell you that. But I do not serve a mean God. I serve a good God. He will give a way out, escape a way out. Our spiritual assignment on earth is not to own things.
Okay.
Because what God gives you spiritually, you keep. How many of us right now are trying to get rid of stuff in our house, trying to clean out things that we got? Your spiritual assignment in life, remember the advice I gave my daughter? Don't load up your house with things. There'll come a day in your life, which your mom's experiencing right now, where you'll have to get rid of all the things you try to, all the things you've collected through. Our assignment in life is not to own things. If we are serving things and we're in slavery to the things we're in debt to, what you're in debt to, you're enslaved by. Things are not life. Then we talked about the shadow. The shadow gives you some attributes, but is not, the shadow itself does not show you the thing, right? You have to look for the thing. The shadow itself is not the thing. It's just a shadow. Is that correct? It has no substance. A shadow should cause you to look for the real object. The Old Testament is a shadow of what was going to be fulfilled in Christ. So we looked at that in Leviticus 25:1. This is a review, so I'm not going to read these things, okay? And Leviticus 25:1 talks about the Sabbath year. 6 years you sow your fields. In the seventh year, the land must rest. The shadow is telling us there is an escape. If the land's got to rest, you've got to rest. There's an escape. There's a way out from this painful toil and sweat. We went back to the book of Genesis, right? And this teaching is based on a teaching of rest by Gary Cassie. I encourage you to go look those up and learn from that, glean from that, and let the Lord add to that. Genesis 3:17, the ground is cursed because of you, Adam. The ground is cursed because of you. God did not curse the earth. Adam's disobedience cursed the earth. Because if Adam hadn't disobeyed, then the earth wouldn't be cursed. It wasn't always cursed, was it? It wasn't God's will. And God only does what's in his mind and his heart, right? God only does his will, right? Is that right? Of course. That's simple, but that's true. Okay? We see there's two kingdoms operating in the earth. There's the earth curse system, and we grew up under it. Oh, I got to work hard. I got to have painful toil. I got to sweat. If I want to live in this neighborhood, I got to work three jobs. I got to work three jobs. If I want to drive this kind of car, I got to work overtime, overtime, overtime. No. That is your people that are doing that are living under a cursed system. That is not God's plan. There's the earth curse system, and there's the kingdom of righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But these things won't have you. God will have you, and God will have your heart. What is righteousness? What is God's righteousness? If I'm told to seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, I need to know what God's righteousness is, right? Well, God's righteousness was given to me or credited to me in Christ Jesus. Okay, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? Yes. But righteousness has a description. Righteousness is the life of Christ. Righteousness is thinking right, speaking right, doing right, and being right. Thinking right, speaking right, doing right, and being right. That's the righteousness of God. Jesus fit all those categories. Did He always speak right? Did He always think right? Yes. Did He always speak right? Yes. Did He always do right? Yes. Was He always right?
Yes.
He was always righteous. He always did the will of God, always. There's a difference between being right and righteous. Being right is when you have to have your way. Mm-hmm. Being righteous is when you want to do it God's way. What would you rather be, righteous or right?
Righteous.
You want to be righteous. Okay. So we don't want to live under, we're not meant to live under that earth curse system. We're meant to live in the kingdom of God. Okay. The Sabbath year shows us there's an escape. On the seventh year, the land rested. Well, so what? So did the people. Let's keep on going. Deuteronomy 15:1. Cancel all your debts in the seventh year. So there will be no poor among you. Well, that's how there's no poor. Their debts are canceled. Mm. Now, Shirley made a good point last week. That does not mean if I form a debt, I'm not supposed to pay it and wait for the seventh year for it to be canceled off of me. If I've made a debt, I'm responsible to pay it, correct? That doesn't alleviate you from your responsibility. But every seventh year, the debt was relieved to give people a fresh start. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that truly did happen in America for those that really, but then there might be a lot of people that would abuse it. I don't know. So let's just get off that topic and let's go on. But this is how God set it up for the Hebrew people. And now He's talking about the brethren now. He's not talking about foreigners that come in.
Right.
He said, this is how you treat your brethren. This is how you treat those that are dwelling among you, your brethren, the Israelites that are dwelling among you. Every seventh year, the year you release them from their debt, and the land goes back to its original owner. Now, you read this. I'm not going to review this. We went in depth for this last week. It's on our webpage. Last Leviticus chapter 25, starting at verse 1, speaks of the Sabbath year. Deuteronomy 15:1, cancel your debts every seventh year, and that's why there were no poor among you. Debt is a system of inconsistency, not God's way. God is always consistent. Debt is a system of inconsistency. You know how I know? Because if you have made debt and you can't pay it some month, then you get off a little bit of consistency with God. You're tempted to get off the path. Come on now, let's be real. Let's be real. It's hard to have freedom if you don't have financial freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're in bondage to that thing that you owe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're tempted. You have to resist the temptation. Do I honor God? Now, I'm just going to be real. I'm going to give you the whole counsel of God. I'm going to fess up to you. I'm going to fess up my faults to you, okay? When our first child was born, Philip, we had to get him very expensive formula. God had just, the timing was perfect. The Lord, He had allergies, Nutramigen. I'll never forget that formula. My mom said, I'll be so glad when this baby gets off this formula. This formula stinks. But it helped to treat allergies in him. My faith was not where it is today. So Dean and I did honor the Lord, but we didn't give God all the tenth. Okay? So I am telling you. I'm telling you from experience. When that debt can tempt you to be inconsistent in your life with God. I've told you before, I would rather eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and honor God with what belongs to God than go to the store and buy steak and know that I robbed God. Now see, law, I'm moving on. That's all I got to say about it. For today, anyway. Leviticus 25:8, count off seven years. In the 50th year, you consecrate the land. Do not reap what grows of itself or the unattended vines to store it away. It didn't mean they couldn't eat what grew of itself. You don't harvest it and put it away. Everyone returns to their own land. All slaves are to be set free. Jubilee, a picture of what is done, what has been done for us in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, Leviticus 25:20. The people say, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? Lord, you said in the 50th year, or in the 8th year, let's go back. You said in the 7th year the land had to rest, right? Okay, so if the land has to rest in the 7th year, you can't sow seed, right? Is that right?
Yes.
So therefore the people can't work.
Right.
And God said, you don't even go out and work to harvest it. It's a true rest. You're going to rest and the land's going to rest. You don't even go out and harvest it. You don't go and harvest it. He said it right there. He said it right there. Now, some of you are looking at me like I'm not giving the full counsel of God. So let's turn to Leviticus 25. I don't like it when I get looks like that. So let's turn there. Leviticus 25. Okay. I hope you're there already. I am. Hallelujah. Chapter Leviticus 25. In addition, now I wasn't going to do this review, but I need to do this for the sake of someone who doesn't quite understand what I'm saying. In addition, you must count off every Sabbath year's seven sets of 7 years, adding up to 49 years in all. Then on the Day of Atonement, in the 50th year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. Set this year apart as a holy time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you, when each of you may return to the land that belongs to your ancestors and return to your own clan. This 50th year will be a jubilee for you. During that year, you must not plant your fields or store away any of the crops that grow on their own. And don't gather the grapes from their unpruned vines. So in this year of jubilee, which also is the 7th year. Remember, the Jubilee year is the 7 times 7, right? You count off 7 7 years, right? So in the 7th year, you can't, not only do you not sow, you don't go out and reap what's grown of its own and put it in a barn. Why? Because that shows you don't trust God to take care of you. Remember the manna? God said on the 6th day, you do what? You collect enough for the 7th day. Well, some rebellious, stiff-necked family members went out on the 7th day and what? There was no manna. And God said on the 5th day, you only collect what you need for the 5th day. If you collect what you on the 5th day, more than what you need, what's going to happen to it? It's going to rot. It's going to spoil. And it did. It got maggots in it, the word tells us. So God is teaching the people to trust him. So he says, on the 7th year, you can't sow. You can't sow any seed. The land's going to rest. So what's going to happen the 8th year? You haven't sowed anything, so nothing's going to come up. Okay, so God says, the Lord God says to them, when they say, what are we going to eat? The Lord says, you say, what are we going to eat? God says, I'm going to command a blessing. It's there in Leviticus 25. I'm not going to read any more of it. The Lord says, I will command a blessing on you in the 6th year. I will command a blessing on you in the 6th year. That come the 7th year, you'll be able to go out and get food off the land. And even the 8th year, you couldn't sow in the 7th year, you'll even be able to go out into the 8th year, it's right there in Leviticus, and you'll be able to still reap from the ground, from the harvest that you sowed in the 6th year, because I will command a blessing on you in the 6th year. I would say God was pretty serious about this. And God said, I will so bless you that not only in the 7th year you eat off the 6th year, in the 8th year you'll eat off the 6th year, and in the 9th year, when you are allowed to sow in the 8th year, and you're getting the harvest in the 9th year, you'll still see stuff growing from your 6th year. Now that's the blessing of the Lord that maketh one rich and add no sorrow to it. And where does it come from? It comes from obedience. The land has got to rest, like the Lord said. It's got to have a rest. So this is a picture. Oh, that's a nice story, you might say. No, it's not just a nice story. God is trying to give us a lesson here. God is trying to tell us that he will command the blessing concerning us when we are obedient and there is an escape. There is a way out. God wants his people to have rest. God wanted them to have rest, not just the land. But God wanted them to have rest. You know, we talked about this before, that people think, well, I'll rest when I go on vacation. That's not the kind of rest God's talking about. That's not the kind of rest God's... Or I'll get to rest when I retire. No. You are to live in the rest of God right now. We're not to wait until we retire. How many people do you know? Oh my God, I see it all the time. How many people do you know that have not been obedient to God through their life, and they wait until they get to retirement and they think, oh, now I'm going to sit down and relax. But they have so worn their bodies out that they can't even get up and do the things they want to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? I believe in working. I believe in working hard. I have a very strong work ethic. My parents instilled that in me. But the difference is, you don't work to get stuff. You're not driven to work because you want more stuff. That's the difference. You work so you're able to give. Do you understand that?
Yes.
You work so you're able to release it and you're able to give. You work under the anointing of God. So I pray for all of us. If you're not in your gifting, God, move us into our gifting. Help us to find the place where we're gifted, God, where we can work out of our gift, where work becomes a joy. It becomes ease. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. Oh, I'm like a hog in slop when I come here on Sunday mornings. Or maybe not in slop, but in the mud. I love Sundays when we can come and learn the Word of God together. But you know what the truth is? Every day I ought to live like it's Sunday. Every day I ought to live like it's Sunday and live out of God's rest. What did we talk about last week? Rest is living from the inside out. I know life is hard. I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. I know hard things come my way, but there is a place in God where you don't have to work under that stress and duress. You can work under the rest and the peace of God. And by the same thing too, I can help someone else to relieve the burden off of them. We talked about that last week too, right?
Yes.
I can help someone else to relieve the burden and the stress on them. But I can work under the gift and I can work under the anointing. That doesn't mean you just be faithful where you are.
Mm.
That doesn't mean give up where you are and walk away.
Mm. Right.
Somebody there is counting on you. Somebody there is depending on you. Be faithful to where God has put you until you get into the place, until God can bless you and put you in the place where you work in your gifts, and it's a joy to come to go to work on Monday mornings.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I know we live in a system where we have to have money to pay our bills. It's not we're all going to sit around and we can't work. We have to work. Paul said, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work. Amen?
When God said it's better to give than receive, he did not only mean money. Amen. Time, your effort.
Yes, it is. I agree with that totally, brother. But the thing about it is, time and effort don't pay my bills.
He don't
I'm talking about what pays my. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, yes. But I'm speaking about this from the point of view that we feel like we're under this, you know, under this system, always achieve, and we're driven for more and more money. I'm speaking, and you're right. I know it's not just about money, but I am saying too that it is true. Without finances, you don't have freedom.
Right.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
If you don't have freedom, now some people don't have freedom to go and do some things they'd like to do, take trips they'd like to do because they're not maybe their own doing, maybe somebody else is doing to them. They're under financial strain. Okay, see law, moving my law, I'm going to get off of that, okay? But you're right. We do so more than that. If you want a friend, you have to be a friend. If you want love, you have to show love. But I'm speaking to this from the point of view of labor and work, okay? So let's keep on going. Exodus 16:23, on the sixth day, there was enough of the seventh day, talking about the manna, right? The Sabbath rest is not possible without the double portion. Let's get into the double portion. Isn't that what God did? Mm-hmm. On the sixth day, he gave him enough for the seventh, right?
Right.
Okay. Those who went out on the sixth day did not know that there would be enough together on the sixth day. They didn't know that. God just said, when you go out on the sixth day, you collect enough for the seventh day. They really didn't know what to expect until they saw, do you think God multiplied that manna in that container? I wondered about that. What they did. I know the scriptures say that they did take extra. God said, take extra for the seventh day. But when they went out the first time, they didn't know what to expect. You know? Mm-hmm. They really didn't. They were just obedient to God. Sometimes when we're obedient to God, we don't know what the outcome's going to be. We do not know what the outcome's going to be.
Right.
We have an idea. You know, God is faithful. We don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. Okay? Isaiah 61. Turn there with me. Isaiah 61, 1. Starting at the beginning. This is a prophecy Isaiah is prophesying. And Christ spoke these very words. Remember in the New Testament when he opened the book of Isaiah, he read from this passage. He said, today these words are fulfilled in your hearing. Isaiah prophesied it. It was fulfilled in Christ. Isaiah 61, 1. Okay? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be set free. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against his enemies. You see the twofold of this? God does bring vengeance against his enemies. We can sit back as Christians and say, oh, that's harsh, that's me. No, let me tell you something. No good parent would allow one child to abuse the other and not stepping in and taking care of it.
Right.
God will bear his right arm. When God has had enough, he has had enough. Mm-hmm. And God will bear his right arm. He will take vengeance against his enemy. He will. And I want to be on the side of God.
Yes.
I want to always stay on the side of God.
Yes.
In covenant, that's right. And walk in, act like I'm in covenant too. Obey covenant, right, Tammy? Not just say I'm in covenant, but act like I'm in covenant. Walk like I'm in covenant. To you all who mourn in Israel, I will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. Anybody here want that? Anybody here? In their life, ever gone through a time of shame and dishonor? Yeah. You did the right thing. You did the best you could do, but you feel like that you just feel like somehow it just didn't measure up. You just feel like you're living under shame or you're living under dishonor. Anybody in here feel that way?
Yeah.
I'm just going to be real honest with you. I love where we are, but Lord, you know, we're not meant to stay here in this place. Lord, bring us out of this place, God. Because what are people looking at us? I'm just going to be real honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
No, I will say to you, we are coming out.
Yes.
God is bringing us out to a place where we will no longer be shamed or feel like we are not honored by God. If we are obedient to God and do things God's way and God's will, God will bring you out to a place of honor and God will give you a double portion for all the trouble you have gone through. And a double portion is just not two times more. And I'm going to prove it to you going forward. It's not just two times more. Amen. And same thing with Elijah. When Elijah prayed for a double portion, y'all, it's more than just two times more. Okay. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. I know it is two, but it's more than two. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Now I want you to back up because I was reminded of this today, and I saw I'd marked, so I love to mark and date in my Bible. Go back up to Isaiah 60. Verse 22. If this doesn't bless you, I'm going to pray for your blesser. I'm going to pray right now for your blesser. I already told you. I already set you up for this. Isaiah chapter 60, 22. The New Living Translation. The smallest family will become 1,000 people. Wow. Don't shout. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sit quiet. Be still. And the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Do know what the Lord says? Do not despise the days of small beginnings.
Jesus.
At the right time, I will increase you. I will make it happen. Mm-hmm. And David, I'm just going to say, you are a blessing to me.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Joanne coming along. Amen. What a blessing.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
Glory to God. An oak tree. He talks about the oak tree here in Isaiah 61. I'm going to do a study on trees. That's the next study I'm doing, is a study on trees. I want to do this for years. Okay, Jesus said this in Luke 4. In Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's quoting what Isaiah said. He fulfilled the prophecy. This is the year of Jubilee. Everything the Sabbath spoke of was fulfilled in Christ. Everything God promised here He would do, that He spoke prophetically through Isaiah, "I will give them laughter instead of mourning. I will give them a crown of beauty for ashes. I will set the prisoners free." Whatever you're in bondage to, God said, "I will set you free." If you're in bondage to debt, if you're in bondage, whatever you're in bondage to, God will set you free from that bondage. Glory to God, because it's the time of God's favor. It's the time of God's favor and vengeance against His enemies and against the enemies of God's people. The oak tree speaks of sturdiness, the planting of the Lord for the display of God's righteousness. Instead of disgrace, my people will receive a double portion. Okay, let's talk about the double portion. This is where it gets real exciting. Are you ready to get on fire for God? You ready to hear some exciting news? The double portion does not necessarily mean two times. Okay, I ask you to look up 2 Kings 2:9. And it's okay if you didn't do it, because I did. Hallelujah for you. Okay. 2 Kings 2:9. Let's go there. Oh, I wanted you to look it up. I can't say that. It's not, it is okay. But I wanted you to look. I wanted you to be hungry too and look it up too. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to show you. I searched this word because I was saying, okay, Lord, show this me in the scripture. Show this. I believe Gary, Lord. But show this. I want to see it, Lord. I want to see it for myself. It's like the woman at the well that went back and preached about, "Come, let me show you a man who knew everything I ever did." And he told them about, she told them about Jesus, right? She was the first evangelist of that area. Is that right? And you can tell me women can't preach. You better go on. Oh, you better go on somewhere. She was the first evangelist. And then what did they say? They said, "Now we believe him because we have heard him for ourselves."
Hmm.
We have seen him for ourselves, not just because of what you said. So we want to search out things. Why? Because we want to see it for ourselves, right? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away." And Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. That's the New Living Translation. So I looked up the word double. Okay? Oh God. This is the word we need to memorize in the Hebrew. It's a beautiful language, and Carolyn, you're probably gonna have to once again to get that word, but I'm gonna try my best, okay? It's number 8147 in the Hebrew. Okay? Double means Shin-ah-yim. Shin-ah-yim. Now I know she's going to do a lot better job. That person's going to do a lot better job. I'm going to go around, after I learn how to rightly pronounce this, I'm going to go around like saying this word. I'm going to go around speaking this word. I'm ready.
Strong's 8, 147.
Shenayim. That's a word you need to memorize. Shenayim. Trouble comes your way, God's going to give you Shenayim for your trouble. God's going to give you double reward for your trouble. Go ahead. You want it, go ahead, take it. If you want it, take it. If you don't want it, sit there. Shenayim. Okay, well, look at this. Okay, so I went to the Greek and I looked up the word Shenayim. That's going to become one of my favorite words, Shenayim. Shenayim. Well, after I learn how to pronounce it, that is, it's going to be my favorite word. Shenayim. Okay, Shenayim. I'm learning. I'm not embarrassed to say I'm learning. Okay, it means twofold or both. It means couple or double. But it means even more than that. When you look it up in the Hebrew, there's this little mark that looks like a cross. There's a little mark. When you look up words in the Hebrew, it looks like a little cross, and it has other definitions that follow it. So I went back to the beginning of the Strong's Concordance, mine is the book, and I looked to see, what do you mean by that little mark? It's called an obelisk. And it means a change has been made by the British revisers.
Okay.
When you see two of those little crosses, it's a double obelisk. It means a revise has been made by the English translators only. But when you see one little cross, obelisk, it means a change has been made by the British revisers. So are you ready for this change? It means 12. Mm. It means 20.
Mm.
It means 6 score, which is 120.
Mm.
And it means 1,000.
Woo!
So don't sit there and tell me the double portion is just two.
What's it, 12, 20?
12, mm-hmm. 20, mm-hmm. 6 score, which is 6 times 20. 6 score obviously is 6, and score means 20. Mm-hmm. It's 6 times 20, which is 120 and 1,000. It's increased. Every time that obelisk is there, it's increased. So I'm going to prove to you. I'm getting ready to prove to you that because the Lord proved it to me this morning, because I asked him. I want proof. I want proof, Lord. Okay? I told you, look, every time in the scripture, you see the two. Okay? You ready for this? Here's just some examples, a lot more. Look for twos. Okay, what about when Jesus took, how much did the little boy have? 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He transferred it, just like the prophet told the woman, Zarephath, what do you have? Well, no, excuse me, that's another, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's in another passage. That's about, that's the widow. God loved these widows. That's the other widow that, I'm gonna get ahead of myself, but let me correct myself. That wasn't the widow at Zarephath. This is another widow whose son, 2 sons were going to be sold into slavery.
Yeah.
And the prophet said, what do you have? Yeah. And she said, I have vessel. Go get your vessel. And, okay, well, I'm gonna get ahead of myself and I'm gonna get that, because that's another two. That's another two. Okay, let's get back to the 2 fish and the 5 loaves of bread. Jesus said, what do you have? He told the disciples, no, you feed them. What do you have? Well, all we got is 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. That's what you got. That's what you got. That's what's in your hand. That's what you got. So Jesus took it, placed it in his hand. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. He gave thanks, right? He lifted his eyes up to heaven. He gazed. He looked. We talked about that word gaze. It means to look upon something truly remarkable. He gazed into heaven because he knew what the Father was going to do. He saw, when he was gazing in heaven, he saw the plan of the Father. He saw what the Father was going to do. He transferred it. When he put it in his hand, he lifted it up to God. He took it out of earth's kingdom. That's what they had on earth, right?
Yes.
And he placed it where?
Into the kingdom.
He placed it, he did a spiritual transfer, a supernatural transfer. We talked about that. Taking what you have out of obedience to God, give it to God and ask God to do a spiritual transfer. Lord, forgive me. I didn't pray that over our giving today. Father, over our giving, what we have in our hands that we lifted up to you, Lord, put your super upon our natural, God.
Yes.
And we're asking you for a spiritual, supernatural transfer out of the kingdom of man into the kingdom of God. Those two fish became what?
Thousands.
Who knows how much? Those fish were so multiplied. The two fish were so multiplied, the 12 baskets were left over. The double portion is enough for you and more than enough with some left over.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it never spoiled.
And it never spoiled. So the double portion is more than enough. When God blesses you with a double portion, you get enough what you need, but you get more than enough to turn around and bless somebody else. And the blessing keeps on going and going and going.
Yes.
Because what did God have to instruct them to do?
Mm.
Take up the 12 baskets.
Baskets.
Now, Gary makes a very important observation here. Because we as humans, we just get to the point where we're just satisfied. They had eaten and they were satisfied. But God doesn't want us just to be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, go pick up the remainder.
Yes.
You have to, they had to be told by God to go pick up what the leftovers.
Wow.
God had to tell them, go get the leftovers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Go get the surplus.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't be satisfied. Ask God for the surplus. You're intended to live in the surplus. You're intended to have more than enough and some and left over.
Yes.
To help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be like the rich young ruler that's just going to put it in the barn. What am I going to do? Look, he says, what am I going to do? I have all this wealth. What am I going to do with it? I know what I'll do. I'll build barns and I'll store it up. And Jesus, giving the parable, said, you fool, this day, your life, your very life is going to be required of you. So it is with those who are not rich toward God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, here's another example of the two. Okay, the two boats, Luke 5, verse 2 and verse 7. Okay. I'm just going to tell this to you. Hopefully I'm going to get it as accurate as I can, okay? Because I'm not going to read it. Okay?
Okay.
Peter and his brother.
Uh-huh.
What's his brother?
James and John.
Well, James and John were brother. Andrew.
Simon
Peter, Andrew. Fished all night. Fished all night. And obviously James and John were there. They were there because their boat was on the shore too, right?
Yeah.
And they came in. Fished under painful toil and sweat and caught nothing.
Sorry.
Jesus sees them and their boats are what? When he sees them? Empty. Two boats.
Uh-huh.
Two empty boats.
Uh-huh.
What's going to happen to those two boats?
They're going to get overloaded.
Yes. Jesus says, go out, launch out to the deep and throw your net over on the right side.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, y'all, God knows where the fish are.
Yes.
God knows where the double portion is. God knows where the blessing. What's my part? My part is to stay faithful to God and what He's blessed me with. To be faithful to God. And God's going to show me. God's going to show me where the double portion is. He's going to show me. Well, thank you for that overwhelming response. Nobody wants to you know what? Because we don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get excited because we really don't believe it. You know why? Because we've been taught all our life to be satisfied with what we have. That we really don't believe it.
Right.
So Jesus said, launch out into the deep.
Right.
Go out into the deep. Cast your net on the right side. Peter, what boat was filled with so much fish. Two boats were so filled with fish, he had to call John and James to help haul in what he got. And I believe he could have called in a third boat. Or a fourth boat. Or a fifth boat. And
he kept
on and on and on and on.
Yes. Yes.
I want you to look in scriptures where God puts. Oh God. Where God puts his supernatural. Just look in scripture where you see two things. And God puts his supernatural on that situation. And multiplies it. You know.
Mm. Amen.
Just Amen. Multiplies it. That the boats were, they just didn't, y'all, they just didn't get two boats full. Those boats were overflowing with fish. The scriptures say, the first boat with Peter, he was so full, he thought he was going to sink.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying that God just didn't fill up one boat and they were overflowing. Mm-hmm.
Their nets almost broke.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, here's another place for two.
Mm.
Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2. This is the one about the oil. Okay, you see two sons. Let's look at that one. Let's turn there and look at that one. I'm just saying, just look. There's some. It's going to be 1 Kings chapter 17. You know, just look for things in Scripture. Be like a, what is it? What is that Scripture we talked about before? It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the wisdom of God to conceal a matter, but it's to the glory of kings to search it out. Mm-hmm. It's the wisdom of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings. What has God made you by the blood of Jesus?
King
and priest, to search it out, to dig it out. Okay, 1 Kings 17. Okay, that's the widow at Zarephath. Yeah, this is a widow at Zarephath. There's another one. Oh, Lord, did I not get it? Did I not find it? Someone help me find this scripture. I thought I'd found it this morning. That's the one. The one I'm looking for is the one where the... when you find it, just raise your hand. Don't blurt it out. I'm looking for the scripture where... And I'll just tell you about it. Where he, the prophet, sees the widow. She, becomes
her
creditors. Yes. Where is it? Where's that passage?
Yeah.
Okay, you're still looking. Okay, just right. Yeah, creditors are coming to take her. How many sons?
Two.
And make them
slaves.
Make them slaves. And so the prophet says to her, "What do you have? Go get your vessel, fill it up with oil." Somebody try to find this passage for us. "And get all the vessels you can from all your neighbors." All your neighbors. So see, we see here, there's a situation. There's two sons. And there is definitely a dire need. There's a lack. You see that? There is a severe lack. Because she doesn't have anything to the point. John, you found it. She doesn't have anything to the point that her sons are going to be sold.
Chapter 4.
Okay. You want to read it for us?
Which one do you want? That's where it starts.
Go ahead. Certain woman. Let's see. Here it is. Okay, yes. It's 1 Kings. It's 2 Kings chapter 4. Read it, John. Start at your first one.
"A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, 'Your servant, my servant, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and a creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elijah said to him, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in the house.' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everyone, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it out in all the vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went out, went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her sons, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and your sons will live on the rest. You and your sons will live on your rest.'"
You know, there's a lot there. One of the things there is that God, the prophet told her, go in behind you and shut the door.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm about to do a transaction. Lord said this between me and you. Shut the door. I don't want your neighbors knowing about it. Do you see that? That was hidden from the other people around her.
Yes.
You know, that tells me a lot.
Yes.
God gives you, God necessarily gives you a plan or gives you a way of escape, a way to bless you that is a double portion situation in your life. It is for you. I'm telling you, I don't know what this is about, I don't know what this means right now. I don't know what this means. I don't know the fullness of what I'm speaking right now. But you shut your door and you keep it secret.
Amen.
Don't you go blurt it out. God is going to give you a plan for success for your life, for success for you. It's a very private thing that the path that God, it won't violate God's word, but it's a very private thing for your life. You don't even need to, don't blurt it out to anybody.
Mm.
Don't blurt it out to anybody. He told her, go in, shut the door behind you, take the oil you have, go ask your neighbor for vessels, fill them up with oil, and sell the oil. And you and your sons paid all your debt, and you live off the rest.
Amen.
Okay? You see what I'm trying to tell you? There are places in the scripture we just study out where we see God takes a two situation, he blesses it, he multiplies it. It's enough and more than enough.
Amen.
Anna, you had a question?
Mm-hmm. When he asked the two vessels, it doesn't say that the size of the vessels.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go ask the neighbors, so I wonder if the neighbors, you know, like sometimes you say, well, you're not supposed to say anything, but you know, you're gonna say, well, why are you asking for vessels? Maybe I'm sure you know, mm-hmm. they had to explain or something. So how do you apply that to our life?
Well, you know, it's the supernatural work of God, and I would just say, what I just feel, unless anyone else feels anything different, is that because it is the presence of God and it's a supernatural thing that God's doing, God can cause them not to even ask.
Yes.
But if you are in a situation where you don't have to answer every question, that doesn't mean you're dishonest. You just don't have to answer it. You can simply say, I have need of it. I'll return it to you. Mm-hmm. So you know when she got the vessel filled, she went and she didn't sell the vessel. She sold the oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she returned the vessel.
That's another question you just answered me. So you think that she did return those vessels.
I do.
But how are they going to sell the oil? And well, I guess people will bring their own vessels. But you know what?
People not going to figure out where's this woman getting all this oil from?
Yeah, I'm over here thinking also, you know, like...
By the time they figured out, honey, she already had all her debt paid and she was good to go.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. It's wisdom. Wisdom,
yes.
And you apply that to the real life.
Mm-hmm.
You have a big... When you have something like you can divide,
mm-hmm.
think about you work in the bank. You divide and you make money out of...
Mm-hmm.
That. So buying in bulk and then you divide.
Right.
And you make money. That's wisdom to
Yes,
him.
It is.
Because I'm sure she got, if God would have said, just sell whatever you have in that
mm-hmm.
vessel, she wouldn't have made a lot of money, probably. But when she divided it and sold it maybe for
it more. It kept on filling up. Every time she had an oil. She had a vessel. She had a container of oil.
She probably
And he
had,
said, go get the borrowed vessels because she obviously didn't have enough vessels. She had to borrow the vessels, and the more she poured the oil, that's where the supernatural came. That's where God put his super upon her natural.
He actually made more than she had.
That's right.
She had a vessel, and it's full. Let's say it was full, and then, you know, once she got, we don't know the size, so
right.
once she divided that, it might have been like, she made more, or maybe, like you said, by the power of God, he poured more into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, because if you think about it, sometimes when you have a big, like you buy in bulk, then you divide,
mm-hmm.
you'll make more money out of it, too.
And look at that, too, Anna. She reminded God of the faithfulness of her husband, and that's good to do that. She said, Lord, my husband was a prophet, and he was a faithful prophet.
There you go.
And now he's dead. And now I have a situation, Lord, mm-hmm. that I need your help. I'm depending on you totally to get me out of this because I don't have any way to help. I don't have anything to do. I don't have any way to help myself. I've done all I can do. And so, God rewards faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness. That's all I can say about that part. God rewards faithfulness. You have something to say?
Yes. In Matthew 6, the 6th verse, he talks about secret. It says, but you, when you pray, enter into the closet, and when you have shut your door, pray mm-hmm. to your Father, which mm-hmm. is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. She was rewarded openly because she told the man of God, and he told her to shut the door mm-hmm. and don't let everybody know what you do.
Amen. Yeah, that just jumped out at me in this passage today. Yeah. God said, shut the door. Go yeah. in behind yeah. yourself and shut the door, and then I will show you the miracle.
Yes.
Because, you know, that blessing wasn't for anybody else.
That's right.
That was for her.
Yes. Yes. And in Bible times, when a widower is a widower, she has sons. They take care of their mama. Mm-hmm. But if they'd been taken away, she would have been destituted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
right.
Nobody's going to take care of her.
Because they worked to support her. Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Naomi had two daughters in
law. There you go.
And they stayed with her until she decided to go back.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that was faithful was Ruth. And mm-hmm. she took care of her mother-in-law.
Because she didn't have sons, right?
Her sons died. Mm-hmm. And those daughter-in-laws, they didn't have to take care of her.
Don't entreat me to leave you.
That's right.
Ruth says.
She stayed. But she also turned to the God that Naomi
was right.
serving.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah, she said.
Because they came from what is it, a country that...
Moabite.
Yeah, they serve multiple gods mm-hmm. and sacrifice and stuff. But she was faithful. She went back with her to help take care of her. Because women, they didn't have the means to make money or whatever. So they were looked down upon. But God, with his faithfulness, saw that in Amen. Secret, and he offered that.
Amen. And, yes, ma'am. That was her escape. That was her way out. Yeah. That was her escape or yeah. way out, y'all.
Yes.
And that was her way out.
Yeah.
And that's why God, the prophet said, you go in and shut the door behind you, and this is what you do.
Amen. So, when she first asked the question, what came to my mind is that, even with the, in obedience to God, even when Jesus asked them to put the nets out, not only did they obey God and put the nets out, the fish obeyed and came to the nets. Mm-hmm. When God asked the prophet, when she obeyed the prophet and did what the prophet said, mm-hmm. the neighbors obeyed. Everybody obeys. When you're in obedience to God, it all falls in place. And nobody asks questions. Even when Jesus asked them to go get the donkey that had never been ridden on. Now, because those people asked Jesus knew they were going to ask that.
That's right.
He said, if they ask you, say the Lord have need of it. Mm-hmm. And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they said, okay, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Just let them go. When we are in obedience to God,
mm-hmm.
it's all worked out. Mm-hmm. Everybody that we come in contact with is already been worked out.
We're going to comply.
It complies.
We want people to comply and to work with us, mm-hmm. but we ourselves don't walk in obedience with God. When I walk, see, that's something we're going to stop and look at. What are the areas in my life personally where people aren't listening to me or taking my advice? Or maybe I need to stop and look at myself and mm-hmm. I need to say, now God, where am I out of mm-hmm. obedience to you? Because it's like what you said, when I set myself in obedience before God, mm-hmm. getting back to the widow and even the situation about the donkey mm-hmm. that he needed, mm-hmm. when I set myself in a place of obedience to God, he will cause everyone else to comply to that, won't he? In the right way. Mm-hmm. I don't have to lord over them. I don't have to say, now you obey me. You know, mm-hmm. the greatest leader is the one who serves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. if you have to command obedience, I'm the boss, you do what I tell you to, mm-hmm. you're really not the boss.
No.
If you have to say you are the leader, you're mm-hmm. not the leader.
Okay.
Ah, yes.
Amen.
That right there is a good answer, Tammy, to Anna's. With if the neighbor is going to ask, what do you need this for? That's the answer right there. The Lord has need of it.
Wow.
She's not going to go ask an Egyptian because they lived in tribes. Mm-hmm. Everyone in that area is going to also be Hebrew. Mm-hmm. They're going to be Jewish. Oh. And they're, yeah.
They're going to willingly give it because they're brethren.
Yeah. And she's going to go ask a brethren. And if they didn't, then the easy answer is that the Lord has need of it. And that's it.
Wow.
When we grew up, and yes, we were, and I still would teach a child this, but I would extend it more when we're speaking about the humbleness,
mm-hmm.
is that we're taught to be thankful,
mm-hmm.
but us as parents and as adults over children, we do need to extend it. Mm-hmm. Be satisfied, be thankful with what you have.
Yes.
If you have above that, give.
Nice.
That is actually being humble. When you're just satisfied, you become proud without even realizing it. You become proud. Because I'm satisfied. You become not paying attention to anybody else because I'm being thankful. That thankfulness ends up not... You actually become self-centered and selfish. Mm-hmm. It goes back to that prayer, Lord, just bless me and mine.
Mm.
And the prayer should always be to thank you that you bless what I need and above.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go one other thing I wasn't going to, and then I'm going to the last thing. The Lord has opened my ears and has opened and has landed me. That's why I tell Kathy the last couple of years, He just lands me on things. A prophet from Australia that the Lord has put our country on her heart. And she speaks a lot of prophetic words. She had a dream not long ago. It's been very, very recent. And if I have it correct, and it doesn't matter, that part doesn't matter. She was asleep, and in her dream, she had a dream. And she heard over and over and over, I really am the Lord of Ephesians 3:20. She heard it. It was over and over. I really am the Lord of Ephesians 3:20. I really am the Lord of Ephesians 3:20. Well, when she woke up, she was like, she went to go remind herself, what is 3:20? I will give you everything that you ask, believe above and beyond. So being humble is after the Lord blesses and your needs are met, whatever you have left over, give.
That's right.
That is truly the humble person. Not sitting there satisfied. My last point is we read it, we sing it in some of our songs, but it's like what the Lord really opened me about a month ago. And I was like, a revelation is that we need to meditate on until it becomes so part of our spirit that then we will react, as Kathy was saying earlier, is because we don't believe it. We will believe it more when we meditate on we truly live in a kingdom that has no end. We live in God. There are, because he says the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of God. So there's more than one kingdom. Which kingdom are you in? We need to meditate.
Yeah.
I live in the eternal kingdom. We need to meditate. I have been practicing trying to remind myself, and every now and then it is going to get more and increase more, that I'll stop and say, I live in a kingdom that is without end. It has no end. And I have to keep saying it. That's meditation. I have to keep saying it.
Amen.
Thinking on it over and over and over. And everything in my hand is without end when it's in the kingdom.
That's right. That is right.
You have to, and the more that we'll meditate on that, is the more that we'll believe it. It's like when I lived in Florence, and one of the girls I went to church with, her husband went to another church, and their part of music was, Missy would always say, they have two speeds, slow and very slow. And when he would come and visit us at Abundant Life, the music part just didn't set well with him because he liked the slow and very slow. Well, we were going somewhere one day and we brought this up and he was saying that. And I said, think about the songs that we sing at Abundant Life. Because back then it was Hosanna Integrity mm-hmm. Music. And I've been re-listening to some of that. It was all about the word with that music. Mm-hmm. When we sang Hosanna Integrity songs, mm-hmm. ones we have now are fine, mm-hmm. but those were scripture songs. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, and I remember I scooted up in between where he could see, I right up where, because he was driving and where he could look at me in the rear view. Mm-hmm. And I said, he said, y'all sing it over and over and over. And I said, but what are we singing over and over and over? He sat there and I said, we're singing scriptures. We're singing Jeremiah. We're singing the book of John. We're singing Psalms. We're singing all of these songs that are based. So that's where with this eternal, we get it in us. That's meditation. We have got to get in us that we live in an eternal kingdom.
That's right.
I don't live. That's why we don't live in this world. Well, where do you live? I'm of the world, but I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. So what are you of? You need to be meditating. What am I of? Mm-hmm. I am of an eternal kingdom is without end.
That's right. That's right.
And the only time it ends is when you don't have any more vessels, when you don't have another boat. God.
Oh, yes. My God.
Yes.
It ends with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As long as you keep giving to God, mm-hmm. it will multiply.
Glory to God.
Mm. That's why you cannot put a stop on God.
Mm-mm.
Those Egyptians, because of obedience, it was out of obedience. Mm-hmm. I always call that absurd favor. You knock on the door of your enemy and say, give me what you've got. Why did they just lump it over? I don't think they even sat there and thought about it. I believe that he looked at his Egyptian wife and said, go quickly now to the closets and give them everything they're asking for. Mm. Because the Hebrews, they obey God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They put the blood on the door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They only cook the lamb that God told them. Only if you're a small family, only get a small lamb.
Mm-hmm.
If you can join two or three families, get what's going to feed you. They looked back through that. They did everything God told them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were in obedience, the Egyptians just gave them their gold and silver. And not one feeble walked out of Egypt. Every one of them were healed.
Mm.
Every one of them could carry their own load.
Mm.
Now, the movie still shows us of different ones carried here, but that's Hollywood. I mean, to the most part, back then, they got it about 75%.
Right.
But no, in the Word, there was not one feeble.
Not feeble among them.
There was not one feeble. They all carried their own load.
Yeah,
ain't none of us carrying you out of here, girl.
Wow.
Amen.
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 Not none between you and God that is going to get right.
That's right.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Because she wants it too.
That's what I'm saying.
I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it.
And it's healed. Whatever
Amen.
It is. No, because there's not one feeble among us.
Not one feeble
among us. There's not. Because what's kingdom, what's spiritual, will show up in the natural.
Yes.
So if it's not right in the natural, there's something in the spirit realm.
Mm.
Whether it's right or wrong in the natural, because it manifests here.
Yes.
Wow.
There's not one feeble.
Not feeble.
Sorry,
so
I didn't mean to preach.
So that leads us. So that leads us to examine ourselves. That leads us to examine myself, because there's not some things happening supernaturally, I need to examine myself.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
To piggyback on what Ms. Carmen's saying, and Carmen, I'm going to write that down on mirrors and everything. We were doing a class, Bible study kind of class at a church I used to be at in Texas. And one of the things that, two or three things happened. The pastor had us write what we would desire, what our desires mm-hmm. were, right? And I remember one lady had hers, and hers was typewritten, and we would share it every week. And they kept saying, Sylvia, yours just gets longer and longer and longer. But it wasn't just about things. It was about love and life. And okay, and people made fun of Sylvia's thing because it wasn't just, well, I want my house paid off. Sylvia, wherever she is right now today, is living everything that was on that paper.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, because her faith just grew and got bigger and bigger. And one of the things that we talked about was, imagine the largest container you can think of. Mm-hmm. And mine was a pot that you put lobsters in. That was, at that time, that was the biggest container I could think of. One guy said, you know those things where they pour the molten steel from in the factories?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He said, that's what I'm seeing inside mm-hmm. of myself. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's the way things happen. And like they said in the scripture, the oil only stopped because she had no more vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in the scripture, it's more than we can ask or think. If we can only think of a lobster pot, then that's what I get. It's not that God's trying to show favor or be yes. mean to me. Apparently that's all I can handle
increase
right now
faith,
because
God.
It's all
increase
the spiritual faith I have is a lobster pot. But if I could handle this lake, hello, mm-hmm. container, will you God, you know, if I could have it, because the lake is completely closed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't flow anywhere like a river. Okay, Lord, I want, I can see the capacity of a lake,
mm.
you know, and the depth. So I just want to share that with you because it just increases. One thing that Jennifer and I were living, I did write in the back of a book one time that when Jennifer got to middle school that I wanted to own my own house. It came true.
Amen.
I didn't keep opening
write
the book and looking
vision.
At it. You know, so
write
I just want to
vision,
say that I just need
desires.
To increase my
well,
faith and believe.
Yeah, and what we have inside of us is a river flowing.
Yes.
He who believes on me, as the scriptures say, out of his inner being shall flow a river, flow a river of living water. A river flowing out of us, a river of living water. There's one of the twos I want to share with you, and then we're going to close it up for the day. Mark's 2:7. Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. I want to speak to you about the power of agreement. Two is the power of agreement, okay? In Mark 6:2, he sent them out two by two, and they had the authority to cast the devil out. The authority to cast the devil out. When you stand in agreement with somebody, two, Jesus said two or more, touch and agree, right? Did he say two?
Yes.
And ask the Father, in my name, anything. We have authority. When two of us come in agreement, how can two walk together unless they agree? You have to find someone who's in agreement with you that will agree with you in prayer. Okay? Not everybody's going to agree with you in prayer. But you have to find someone who's going to stand with you in agreement. And as these disciples did, and they went out two by two, you can tell the devil, get out.
Amen.
Get out.
Amen.
You're not going to mess with this. You're not messing with that, and you're not messing with that.
Amen.
Get out. I
Amen.
Cast you, we cast you out in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Kathy, can I read Ephesians 2?
Yes.
Okay. I hadn't seen it before, just right now. And even the first words, again, go right back to what Kathy said, because we don't really believe. He told Lana, in that dream, I really am the Lord of Ephesians 3:20. Mm-hmm. Over and over like a broken mm-hmm. record. This is it in the Passion. Mm. Never doubt.
Never.
Because wow. Never.
Never.
Kathy says because we don't believe it.
That's why
we don't get excited.
No, we don't believe it.
In the Passion. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you. And accomplish all this, he will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request.
your most unbelievable dream.
Mm.
The family members, the friends that said, you can't do that. What makes you think?
Who are you?
That you can do that, your most unbelievable dream. And exceed your wildest imagination.
Mm.
He will outdo them all.
Mm.
For his miraculous power constantly energizes you.
My Lord.
Now let me read it without any of my interruptions. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. Mm. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination.
Mm.
He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you.
Mm-mm.
I really am the Lord of Ephesians 3:20.
And I live in a kingdom that has no end.
And I live in a kingdom that has no end. So, Lord, we lift up this day to you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you for all that are here today. Father God, our part of our body that they're doing this and that. And I thank you that you are with their other, Father God. I thank you for the body of Christ in this nation.
Mm.
And I thank you that, Father God, you have a church in this land that lifts you up.
Mm.
Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that it said that Abraham stopped at 10. But, Father God, you, Father God, sees that there are more than 10 in this nation that worships you. Father God, I thank you that because of the worship that comes up to you from this land, Father God, we lift it up to you and transfer it into your kingdom that is without end. So I thank you for the rest of this day and going into this week. I thank you, Lord God, that you super exceed everything that we dream, that we imagine, that we request.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you would outdo it.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you, Lord God, that you spoke to Lana, who was in Australia, who, Lord God, you have laid her. You have laid us on her heart, Father God. She sees the greatness for America, Father God, and she'll tell you, Lord God, that if America goes well, so goes the world, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have so blessed us to be in a nation, Lord God, that would do and obey, Lord God, what you sent the pilgrims here to do, Father God. I believe that it was the Indians, Lord God, that cried out, "Who is God?" So you sent the people from England, Lord God, that was being suffocated to worship you. And you put the two together, oh God, to build this nation. That's why we live off of their spirit, oh God, that will fight for the freedom to worship you, oh God. And I thank you that you have placed us into the kingdom, Father God, your eternal kingdom that it was without end. Lord God, that we won't hinder. It's our hindrance, oh God. Father, that we won't hinder. Help us not to hinder you, oh God. You want to flow. You want to flow even greater than we can request, imagine, dream. Oh God, I thank you, oh God. Outdo today.
Glory to God.
Outdo everything that we are thinking of. Outdo today.
God. Mm.
Father God, that this body of people, Lord God, that you would so put in us, oh God, that we are in a kingdom that is without end.
Glory to God.
It's without end. Oh God, Father God, help us to meditate.
Mm.
Holy Spirit, all that David told us today about that submarine, how Jesus just escaped. Oh God, because he's, oh God, it's a kingdom that's without end. Oh God, it's the breath of Holy Spirit round about us. Oh God, that just has us to just escape. Anything that we're not supposed to be a part of, anything that the enemy's trying to bring against us to keep us separated from the world, I thank you that we just push that button David talked about we just push that button. And the breath of God, the breath of God just swarms us. And we just, oh, we just go through the escape. The enemy just looks at, where did they go? He doesn't even know where we went. He didn't see us escape. He can't find where we went. But Father God, I thank you in this day, in this hour, you are exposing to us the weapons that the enemy is launching. They're so stupid. But God, I thank you for that stupidity. That they're just showing us the weapons that we know how to warfare. And you will outdo.
Amen.
Outdo.
Amen.
Through us, oh God. Because you constantly energize us with your power.
Glory to God.
You constantly energize us with your power. For the word that the Lord speaks. Thank you when you showed that to me last year. The word that the Lord speaks is full of energy and power.
Yes.
Cutting down to the spirit and the soul. That line is so thin. But oh God, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for separating and placing us into the kingdom of your power. Oh, God, you're eternal. We live. Where do you live? In eternity?
Mm-hmm.
I am walking in this world, but I live in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I live in eternity.
Amen.
There's no end. I live in eternity. There's no end of love and power. There's no end of prosperity and peace. There's no end to my joy. There's no end to my patience. There's no end, oh God. There's no end. There's no end to our giving. We live in eternity. We live in the kingdom that's called eternity. There's no end. Father, thank you. I apply the blood of Jesus to every one of my brethren here today. And again, those that are not in the body of Christ. Father God, in this nation and our brethren around the world, we apply the life-giving blood of the Lamb that was shed for us. Thank you, Father God, that you keep us and protect us and defend us today with the blood of Jesus. In your name, amen.
Amen. Woo.